Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. On April the 8th, a brand new student organization, the Saudi Students Organization, will host an event called Building Bridges in the Tennessee Room of the James Union Building at 12:30. Their keynote address will be delivered by Patrick Ryan, who is president of the Tennessee World Affairs Council and past president of the Cookeville Breakfast Rotary Club. And here to talk about the new association today is the co-founder and president of the Saudi Students Association, Abdullah Al-Kubraish, who is a graduate student here at MTSU and a native of the capital city of Saudi Arabia, Riyadh. Thanks for being with us today, Abdullah.
Thank you for having me, and it's my honor to be there, Jana. Thanks a lot.
Why did you form the Saudi Students Association? Not you solely, but why did you get together with other Saudi students to create this new student organization?
The whole purpose of the organization is to promote and support cultural, social, and sport activities between our members and the campus students. I think there is so much need for this organization at this time because the number of Saudi students is increasing, so we would like them to be involved in our campus activities, and we want to orient them to the United States or to the American culture and help them in finding their accommodation and feel comfortable on the first few days being here in the country, and help them with their success in schools in explaining the United States university grading system and how do you go through the scheduling and registrations. These things is because it's slightly different than my country. So that's the purpose of having this organization.
About how many Saudi students does MTSU have now that you know of?
As far as I know, there are about 112 students, I think, in campus, and there is about 125 students at the English languages school.
And you're here on a King Abdullah scholarship named after the monarch who rules Saudi Arabia. Tell us a little bit about how you got it and what it provides for you.
First of all, this program is really, really, it's an amazing program. It started about 5 years back, and they send a student overseas for two purposes. First purpose is to acquire academic knowledge from other countries, and secondly is to experience different lifestyle and know from other cultural perspectives. That will help our student to understand what's going on in the whole world in a better way. That's one thing. King Abdullah scholarship programs send a student to the United States, to the Canada, to Europe, to every country around the world, but the majority goes to the United States. There are about 36,000 students right now in the United States studying in the best educational institutions across the nation.
And out of all the universities around the world, how did you come to pick MTSU?
Actually, I did my homework trying to find one of the good schools in the United States that providing good curriculums that would help me to get the required qualification. So because my country, the Ministry of Higher Education, have approved list, I have gone through this approved list and look at the programs in the United States, and I look at the MTSU, and then I look at the living costs in the state Tennessee, and I found it's actually pretty much a nice town to live in because of the living costs, because of the curriculum we have it at the business school, and our MBA program is accredited by one of the best business agency in the United States. Mm-hmm. Another reason for choosing Middle Tennessee because of their hospitality. Mm-hmm. And actually, we share these things in my country. Both nations are both the southern state as well as the Saudi Arabia, I will learn about their hospitalities.
It might surprise some people to hear you say that because of the controversy in Murfreesboro right now that has gotten some national attention about the proposed expansion of the Islamic Center. But even people who have lived here for a great long time and have attended the Islamic Center do say that there are some warm-hearted people in Murfreesboro who are open-minded and who are not inhospitable, who are not ugly, who are not mean. And you seem to say that you found a great deal of warmth and caring from people that you've met here on campus and in town in general.
That is true. I mean, I have been here now for almost 2 years and 2 months probably. And I have found very nice people who stand by us and trying to make our life here in town easy and comfortable and support us. And they said, if you need any help, just let me know, shoot me email, give me a call. I'll be more than happy to support you. That make our life more easy and comfortable, even for my family too. And I'm glad when I go to Walmart or Kroger stores and people, hey, ask why your wife is wearing this scarf and they start showing interest to expose this culture. Why? And I'll be happy to answer their questions. And they say, well, that's beautiful, and that's it. So.
Well, if you had to describe to someone who's never been to Saudi Arabia what life is like there, how would you describe it? What would you tell them about it?
The life in Saudi Arabia is kind of different than here. And in my country, the people, first of all, the education system, the man and female are separated in different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when we sit together, usually there is a stranger, not part of the part of the family. Usually, we sit in separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our culture, and this is the way we do it.
In the mosque too.
And the mosques too. There are separate rooms for female and male.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not strange for us. That's our culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe the main difference between these two countries.
Mm-hmm.
But
the state of industrialization, the state of modernity, the state of all of the modern conveniences that people in the United States enjoy, Saudis enjoy too in the major cities like Riyadh, right?
Well, we have, I think, the same modernization here in the United States. You'll see when you go don't think about having camels and tents. That's stereotyping most of the people having. But currently we have an amazing modernization in the country. We have the skyrise buildings, and we have an amazing infrastructure system in the country. We have one of the best schools in the world right now. We have something called King Abdullah University for Science and Technology, and this is a brand new university was established last year, and their vision actually is to be ranked by 2020 one of the top 10 schools in the world in terms of the science and technology research.
Mm-hmm.
And they grant about 3,000 scholarships for international scholars who are interested in doing research. So I think that in terms of the modernization, we are almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in my country, in some section, we are doing better than here in some sections. Yeah.
I don't doubt it, especially in the scientific areas.
In the scientific and the petroleum section, in the petrochemicals business, there are a lot of new factories building up, and there are a lot of job opportunities right now in the country. So.
Tell me, when your fellow Saudi students come to MTSU and they're new to the situation, to the university bureaucracy, what are some of the things that they gonna grapple with trying to get used to? What are the differences that they try to deal with when it comes to just getting to feel like they're a part of the university community and they know where they're going, what they're doing, how to deal with professors and all of that kind of thing?
First of all, is the way the grading systems, the registration system. In my country, most of the schools, the schedule is given to you. You're not the one who pick which course you want this semester. You're not the one who do your roadmap. Mm-hmm. The things is given to you from day one in the schools.
Certain classes you have to take, right?
certain class. Also, actually, the whole schedule is fixed for you.
Mm-hmm.
This class, you have to take it for the next 4 years in my country.
Uh-huh.
However, here in the state, there is a core classes you need to take.
Right.
However, there are also an elective courses. It's up to you.
So there are no elective courses in the Saudi universities?
Currently, no. Most of the schools, they don't allow you to go with electives, except I think one or two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them, there is fixed schedule. You have to follow it from day one to until you graduate from school.
Are Saudi universities on a semester system, or how does their academic year go?
All of the Saudi universities are on the semester base.
Okay. Does it coincide with ours, running from like semester all the way through, you know, the end of May or the beginning of June?
Yes, it's almost the same in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the schools teach 124 credits.
Mm-hmm. So you need 124 credit hours to graduate.
At least.
At least.
Yeah, and some in some other programs you need, I think, 140 or 150 credits to graduate.
Mm-hmm. How? What do you think about the classes you've been taking? How would you describe the professors, their teaching style, the, you know, rigor or the easiness or the hardness of your classes that you've been taking here at MTSU?
To be honest, I like the way the people here teach. And I like the way their grading system being distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have a good potential to success and get a grade in your classes.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike in my country, most of the grade is being given to the final exams.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have a presentation, you have a project, you have a midterm, final exams, you have homeworks, you have opportunity to express and yourself, your opinion, agree or disagree with your professors. I like this one pretty much.
So you can feel free to speak out and voice what you say, and as long as it's, you know, backed up by something factual, then you can actually have a conversation with the professor.
That
right?
is true.
And both of you learn in the process. That's something I've always liked. I've always liked the classes in which I had a chance for discussion better than the ones that were just straight lecture courses.
That is right. I totally agreed with you.
Are you a Muslim, first of all?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The something that I've always asked Muslim students every time I've interviewed them at MTSU, and I've been here 10 years, is, how do you arrange your day so that you can accomplish everything you need to, your coursework, your personal life and everything, and still make time for the prayers, to pray as much every day as you're required to pray? Because you have to have a place to go where you can be private. And I know that there's been a room in the KUC, in the Keithley University Center, where Muslims have gone in the past to take a break in their day and pray. But how do you arrange your schedule so that you make sure that you have time to integrate those into your daily life?
First of all, I mean, we pray five times a day.
Yeah.
The first prayer starts earlier in the morning, and the last prayer, it's right these days around 9 o'clock or 9:30. Mm-hmm. So these two prayer meals, I have no problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
The others which come in between my classes sometimes, the one at noon or the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes when the sun sets, okay, I have no problem. I can pray at any time, at any places. I got on my carpet, little carpet in my backpack. Mm-hmm. I just, when the prayer time comes, I pray at anywhere, so I have no problem with it.
So you don't go to a special place, you just pray anywhere you happen to be?
Anywhere. I pray in the library, I pray anywhere. That's fine, I mean.
Okay. I just thought maybe you would like privacy, because there, you know, a lot of Christians I know would prefer to be in private when they pray. They usually don't, you know, like sit under a tree and then pray, or just kneel in the library and pray. They usually like to go into an enclosed place and pray, so that they feel more like they are private or alone with God when they do that. It's a different, interesting difference in the culture of the two religions there.
I see.
Yeah. You're going to expose folks to a little bit of Saudi culture at the April 8th event. Tell me what all is going to happen.
This is, first of all, it's going to be the first event or the first Saudi cultural day in campus. And we are so excited for this one, because we have done so much tremendous effort to promote and prepare for this one to meet our audience expectations. The event will begin at 1 o'clock by Mr. Patrick Ryan, he's the president of Tennessee World Affairs Council in Nashville. This is a nonprofit organization trying to promote an international cultural awareness in Tennessee State. And he was the best president of Rotary Club in Cockville. Also, he was a commander in the Navy. So, and he's familiar with the Middle East because he has been in the country a few times, and he was in the Kingdom of Bahrain for a few years.
Okay.
So he knows good things about the country and the history.
And some of the things that I understand you're going to be talking about include tourism, economics, foreign investment, and you're going to have traditional dancing?
That is true. We will show the people two different traditional dancings from the country. And I think that's going to be a fun time for people to participate and try that folklore dancing from Saudi Arabia.
And music as well?
Absolutely, yes.
Live band or recorded music?
Actually, it's recorded music.
Okay. Yeah. And some food. What kind of food can we expect to find?
We are working with the campus now to give us approval for off-campus food to provide it, if it's possible to show people the authentic Saudi foods. Mm-hmm. But with the regulation of the campus, I think maybe we are not allowed to bring off-campus food in Tennessee Rome. So we will stick to the... We are working with Aramark now to find some menus that work with our culture.
Mm-hmm.
For example, hummus, falafel, basbousa, some sweet things.
Yes.
That's what we are trying to accomplish with them right now.
I know Aramark has catered the international banquets here in the past, so I would imagine that they have a few things on their menu that they could work with you on that. Hopefully they do.
Hopefully too.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about tourism. Does Saudi Arabia, well, with their great oil wealth, I don't suppose that they're heavily dependent upon tourism, but do they get a lot of international tourists?
The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia established a new authority to take care of the tourism part.
Mm-hmm.
And that was established about 5-6 years in the past. And right now they are trying to reform the whole tourism activities and infrastructure in the system to make it easy for foreign people to come over and visit the country, because we have a very wonderful historical part in the country that we would like people to come and expose those cities. For example, we have something called Mada'in Saleh or Al-Ula, and that looks like the same as Al-Batra in Jordan.
Oh, okay.
People have never seen it, I think, or have never heard about it. So mm-hmm. I think it's a good opportunity for them to visit this one. These pictures will display them during our Saudi Cultural Day, or the Building Bridges with the Community event on April the 8th. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to come over and expose this life, or expose this cultural and historical part of the countries.
What other things do you anticipate the Saudi Students Association doing in the future? Do you have any ideas for possible charitable work? I know a lot of student organizations get involved with charities, like Habitat for Humanity, and raising money for good, worthy causes. Do you anticipate doing anything of like that in the future?
Thank you for asking these questions. Both nations now, or both, like I would say, Saudi Arabia and here in the Southern State, or in Tennessee State specifically, both of us loves to do volunteer activity.
Mm-hmm.
And both community have a lot of charity organizations. So from our heart, we love to serve the community here. And by the way, I just stopped last week by the Red Cross trying to ask their participation on April the 8th so we can raise funds for the Japanese relief mm-hmm. project. I'm working with them, and hopefully we can get things. The problem, we have a time limitations now. I'm not sure whether we can get things done within like the next week.
Another thing that you're going to be exposing at the Building Bridges event is the art of henna. I think a lot of women are familiar with henna as a rinse or a dye for their hair. What are you going to show us about henna?
The art of henna is gorgeous, actually, when you have it in your hands. Something is so beautiful. So we will give the opportunity for the ladies here in the United States to have the henna art in their hands for free of charges.
This is something that you put on your hands, like a temporary tattoo? Describe it for us.
Yeah, it's actually a temporary tattoo. It stays at least for 1 week or 2 weeks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is done by artists with great detail, I take it, and elaborate designs. And
it depends on the sophistication of the girl who's doing that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the time both parties have. If they have time, they can do something so sophisticated and very detailed art. But I think because the time limitation we are having during that event will make it simple and beautiful.
You can put it on your arms, you can put it on your face, anywhere?
Anywhere you like.
Within
in my
reason.
Country, usually people put it in their arms, most likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it strictly the red color we associate with henna, or are there multiple colors?
It's a red color.
Strictly the red color.
The red color.
Yeah,
yes.
It's the red color, the color that made Lucille Ball's hair red. How do you have everyone who is a Saudi student a member of your association, or how many members do you actually have in the association now?
First of all, we are a brand new association in campus. We have been established about 4 weeks back. And right now, all of the members are Saudi students. However, the membership is open for any student on campus.
Right.
We have no political, no sex, or like a religious point of view. So it's open for anyone to join us. And we would like to encourage our friends here in campus to join our organization and expose our culture and help us to get involved in the community mm-hmm. activities.
It's all about the mission and the purpose of the student organization. All student organizations at MTSU are open to people of all races, creeds, colors, faiths, genders, sexual orientations, everything.
That's right.
It's anyone who wants to help the mission of the particular organization. Tell me a little bit about what you're studying. You're a graduate student. What's your major?
I'm majoring in business administration. Master of Business Administration.
And you're going for would you want to go for a PhD later on or not?
No. The reason I selected the Master of Business Administration because I want to go back home and run my own business. I'm not interested in doing academic things.
What kind of business do you want to run?
I used to run my dad's factory. That was a lime and sandstone factory.
Limestone?
Right. Mm-hmm. I ran it for a few years. When I go back, there are so many different opportunities in the country, but I love to get engaged in a restaurant chain mm-hmm. business.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Traditional Saudi food or not, or something different?
Now, because there are so many students being sent for overseas to study, I think they will adopt some of the international foods when they go back to the country.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking right now to open an international restaurant in the country.
Okay. We're talking about formal dining or family dining or a small place, a big place? So what do you look at it in your mind's eye? How do you see the restaurant?
That's a good question, actually. But I will start step by step. I'm not going to open a very fancy, very huge restaurant. I will start step by step, trying to build a reputation and at least trying to finance the whole project through the first restaurant. I hate getting loan from the banks. I hate borrowing money from friends. I would like to be secured,
mm-hmm.
and I think as long as you have a vision and a great roadmap, mm-hmm. you will achieve your goals at the end.
Okay. So you're hoping to do it without loans. Where would you get your startup capital, your venture capital, to start the business?
I will start the business in partnership with my father.
Ah, yes. Okay. How's his limestone business doing in Saudi Arabia? Doing all right?
It's doing amazing, actually. Yeah, it's one of the best business in the last 3 or 4 years. We have a huge and expansion construction business in the country now. And a lot of owners and contractors love to have the limestones as a cladding of their elevation, outside elevations.
Why is there a construction boom in the country right now? Is the economy going great guns? We hear about a worldwide recession, and a lot of countries are in terrible shape.
That is true. in contrast to the worldwide financial crisis, the country is doing very good jobs in terms of the business sectors.
Mm.
There's so much booming on building new factories, building new infrastructures, building new universities, building new hospitals in the country. And by the way, last month, King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz, the ruler of the country, he actually allocated $70 billion for new hospitals in the country in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a huge booming in every aspects of the country: education, economic, finance, tourism, part infrastructures, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Before we went on the air, I asked you something, and you gave a very interesting answer. I want you to repeat it if you would. I asked you, since you have lived in a monarchy, and most Americans have never even visited countries ruled by a king or a queen or a prince, and you have lived in a democracy here in the United States. So how would you compare living in a monarchy and in a democracy? And you said what?
Instead of comparing between the government you have in different nations, I think people or the citizens are looking for certain things. And if the ruler of the country work for the interest of his followers, and at the end he will make his citizen happy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in my country now, the ruler of the country is working to provide a housing for every single family in the country. They're trying to make sure that we have jobs for every single body in the country. Mm-hmm. They're trying to provide a nice healthcare system in the country for free of charges. The high education and the public schools are provided for free in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So if the rulers work for the interests of his followers, they will be happy. They're looking for basic things. The other thing is depends on the people's creativity and innovation to reach their success.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic thing, if you can provide jobs with a good payback, you provide them with the home, you provide them with a good education system, you provide them with a good health care systems, that's the basic thing that people were looking for.
Mm-hmm. So regardless of what kind of government you have, whether it's a monarchy or a democracy or an oligarchy or whatever it is, what really appeals to you is freedom of opportunity, and you can find freedom of opportunity in Saudi Arabia and in the United States.
That is true.
What has been the thing that you've liked the most about the United States or your United States experience so far?
One of the good things I like, actually, there are a lot of things here what I like in the United States, but I like, as you said, the freedom of the religion, the freedom of speech, the transparency of the government in up to certain level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. They are also fighting corruptions in the country. That's a good thing, what I like.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the people. Have you had a chance to travel around the United States to other places in the United States outside of Tennessee or outside of the South?
I think I did, maybe sometimes more than the American people. I've been in Texas, I've been in Florida, I've been in Chicago, in New York, in Washington, in Colorado, in New Mexico, in Arizona. So I've been in a bunch of states in the United States to explore the country and experience different lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. Are you amazed at the diversity of life, how some people in one part of the U.S. can be totally different from people in another part of the U.S.?
That is true. Yeah, I was amazed. For example, when you go to Boston or when you go to New York, people are in rush all of the time and they don't have time to sit and talk to you. However, here, when you go to the grocery shop or you go to Walmart, the cashier sometimes spent like 10 minutes just talking with you. So that's completely different.
We are a little bit more laid back down here.
That is true.
Now, earlier you said something, and I want to make sure I get this right. Mr. Patrick Ryan was going to be speaking at 1. The time I have here for the event to start is 12:30. So is it 12:30 or 1 that the event actually
The speaker will begin at 1 o'clock.
All
however,
right.
We'll accept people and our audience to show up at 12:30, 12:45, just to make sure they take their place
mm-hmm.
in a timely manner.
And this is free and open to the public?
yes, this is free for everyone, to the public, and we encourage our faculty, our student here in campus to join us and expose different culture. We're trying to promote cultural awareness and develop understanding. Most of the problem we are having is due to lack of communications, due to ignorance. So I think this is a great opportunity. People can get in a groups, talk to each other, and clarify different things.
And it's called Building Bridges in the Tennessee Room of the James Union Building here on campus, 1230 April the 8th, presented by the Saudi Students Association. Abdullah Al-Kabresh, thank you for being with
us
today.
Thank you for having me.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.